It's time again for the Red Journal Radio Show.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. It is October the 22nd, which is a Thursday. And this is the Red Journal Radio Show, and I'm your host, Salita. And tonight, I know you guys, I'm popping up more often on here, but there's a purpose behind this. As you know, tomorrow night is Freestyle Friday, so get ready for it. I love talking about a lot of things, all kind of issues and stuff. So tonight, our show is going to talk about my issues, not just my issues, but some of my issues. Okay, you know, our show always starts out with us meditation and our recipe for tonight. I found one called Snow Day Cookie, so we're going to go over that one tonight. Okay, first of all, you know what we need to do. Visualize standing on the shores, looking over the water. Take a deep breath. Now slowly release it. Clear your mind. Concentration can be transformed to accept change that can take place. Look over the horizon and beyond your perceived viewpoint. Focus what is important to you. Release the drag out, low self-esteem, and all the emotional baggage that you carry with you. Allow the gentleness of the breeze sweep all your fears. Let the waves of calmness pass over you. Your life is all you have, so make sure you've planned it accordingly. Never stop dreaming. Know through relaxation, you have an opportunity to refresh, renew, and reinvent. This is just the beginning for you to take a chance and create you a positive environment for the growth of a positive thought pattern. Deep breath in, let it out. Wow, that was delicious. All right, so let's start to pee our way. Okay, this one is called Snow Day Cookies, and it's out of Dallas, Georgia. Prep time is 25 minutes. Bake time is 15, and this makes about 2.5 dozen. Okay, you need 1 cup of butter softened, 1 1/4 cups of packed brown sugar, 2 large eggs, 3 teaspoons of vanilla extract, 2 teaspoons of 2% milk, 2 cups of old-fashioned oats, 1 3/4 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 1/2 cups of coarsely crushed potato chips. Wow. 1 1/2 cups of coarsely crushed pretzels. I forgot to put that in the cookie. Wow. 1 cup, 6 ounces of semi-chocolate chips, and 3/4 cups of chocolate milk. It says preheat oven to 350 and a bowl of cream butter and brown sugar until light and fluffy. Beaten eggs, vanilla, and milk. In another bowl, whisk oats, flour, baking soda, and salt. Gradually beat into a creamed mixture. Stir in potato chips, pretzels, chocolate chips, and M&Ms. Drop cookie dough by scant 1/4 cupfuls, 2 inch apart on an ungreased baking sheet. Flatten slightly. Bake 14 to 16 minutes or until edges are golden brown. Cool on pans 2 minutes. Remove to wire racks to cool. Wow, this is 226 calories, 11 grams of fat, 6 grams of saturated fat, 2 milligrams of cholesterol, 223 milligrams of sodium, and 31 grams of carbs, and 1 gram fiber, and 3 grams of protein. You know what that is? That 223 milligrams of sodium, that's the potato chips and pretzels with all that salt on it. Yes. So that was the Snow Day Cookie out of Dallas, Georgia.
All right, you guys. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Let us get started. Now, to me, I'm getting ready to play what I call an issue song. So, relax and enjoy. Like a sad song, but that song came to my mind when I was looking for some music, and I was like, okay, I like that. I like that song. That's always been one of my favorite, all-time favorite songs. She's telling the truth. She's getting rid of all the rain. She's gotten rid of all the rain, and she's looking for the sunshine. And the sunshine is waking up and realizing that all the pain and suffering, the relationship she's been in with this sucker, and I'm calling him a sucker, that really wasn't worth it. So you get to that point. So my issue is, with a lot of us, I like to say us because you know what? I don't like to exclude myself because nobody really knows someone else's situation. I'm not going to sit here and say that everything is fine and dandy and perfect and la 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 and rainbows and sunshine. I'm not going to sit here and say that. All relationships have issues all the time. You have to either work through them or move on. Some of us have never learned how to move on. Some of us rather be in suffering and pain instead of making a decision to move on. And this deals with our emotional issues and how we see ourselves. Those are two things we're talking about tonight, emotions and the image and how we see ourselves. Some people feel that in relationships, when the relationship no longer is working, it's emotional devastation to them, psychologically, emotional, and it goes back to the image. Simply because you don't want everybody to know that you make yourself feel like you're a failure because the relationship didn't work out. When lots of times it could not be, it doesn't necessarily mean it's you. It could be the other person, and you realize that it's not you, and the best thing for you is to move on and do what you got to do for yourself. And sometimes we forget to do that. We're taught to forgive everybody and everything. I mean, the creatures on a mosquito that bites you, you're supposed to forgive it. And I'm going to be honest with you, emotionally, psychologically, I don't always feel the need to forgive everybody for everything they do to me. I just don't. If you don't forgive, your heart will always be heavy. You will always have all these negative things happen to you. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of not really into that. I'm sorry. I'm just going to let you know. I'm going to give out the phone number before I go on my rant. 347-677-1749. That's 347-677-1749 if you would like to call in and talk to me. Or talk with me on this conversation about our emotional, psychological, and our image when it comes to relationships. It took me a long time to learn how to deal with relationships. It really did. I had relationships where men were very verbally abusive to me. I've had relationships where men treated me like a queen. But I found myself going for the one who verbally abused me. That was much better. Or the ones who cheated on me, you know, blatantly in my face. I mean, and then you go back to how I felt about myself. My self-esteem was the point where I could handle all of this, or did I mind being last stop when everybody else knew what was going on and I was blind and clueless? And I'm mad and upset and wanting to kill people over something that probably wasn't mine in the first place. So you go through that in life and you're either going to learn or you're going to keep doing the same stupid shit over and over again. Some of us never learn and we keep doing the same shit and keep getting with the same shitty men that are not about nothing, and they're not planning on being about nothing no matter how they tell you to find your man and build him up. He was broke, he was this, but let me tell you this, okay? Let me tell you about that, how that works. And I'm far from a gold digger. I'm not married to no millionaire. But let me tell you how that works. Okay. You pick them up, you bring them in, you dust them off, and you put them in a position where he can do better. And he chooses not to do better, or he gets to a point in his life where he's at his plateau and he's not going to do anything else. He's just going to do just enough. What do you do with those men? You get rid of the motherfucker. Excuse my language, I am cursing tonight, but you get rid of the motherfucker. And quit calling them. Learn not to call them. Once you throw them away, ain't no need for you to keep calling him. Let him be somebody else's burden. You know, it's good for us to be empowered by each other, male, female, the black male, the black female. You know, we need each other. But let me tell you something. Just like there's bad apples and fruits, and if you don't get them off the basket, they'll mess up the rest of the fruit. Okay? It's the same thing with men, no matter what their color is. There's bad white people, men who have terrible decision-making abilities. There's no difference in that. I don't find a difference in it. Because in my past, I've had the opportunity to date them, and they're just as worse off than the ones who are our color, which is black. So my thing is, you as a woman, you need to learn that you can do better and keep telling yourself that. And I'm not saying, oh, have your standards so high that nobody can reach you, okay? I'm just saying, pay attention. If you see yourself going down that same road, what should you do? Should you sit back and continue to let it, you know, just ride along with it? Or should you say, wait a minute, hold up. Uh-oh, I'm feeling that feeling I felt before, and guess what? I'm not liking it. So guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to do something about this. If you don't want to do nothing about it, you need to roll them up. Let them go. Let them go, because I'm going to tell you like this. You either do that, or you won't realize why things are happening to you. You won't get the gist that this is not working and I'm going to continue to stay in it, and you wonder why you still complaining and whining and bitching and moaning about how your life is so messed up, because you haven't gotten rid of the shit in it that don't belong. You got to know. You need to have a checklist of things that belong in your life. Your children belong in your life. I mean, if you have a good relationship with your mom and dad belong in your life. If you have a good job belongs in your life. You have nice coworkers, your nice coworkers belong in your life. But a man that ain't doing shit for you, ain't hitting a lick out of snake, and only thing he can roll at you is his penis, it needs to be checked off your list. Now, I understand that society has created this mindset for us that we have to have somebody in our life, and I'm desperate, and I'm going to do this, and I'm just going to marry myself. And come on, that's crazy. Who marries themselves just because they couldn't find nobody to marry? Huh? Nobody does that. But there is a lady who did it. She married herself, which is, I think, is crazy and pathetic, and that goes back to the psychological, the emotional, and then it has something to do with your social and your image of how you see yourself. I'm not being judgmental. That's one of our words. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying I think that's the craziest shit you could ever do. I'm not marrying myself if I don't find no man. For one thing, I'm not going to look for him. If he really want me, he's going to find me, because that's his job, is to find me. I'm not going to look for him. I just don't. I got better things to do. And if he appeals to me in that sense, maybe I will date him. Maybe I won't. And I sure in hell ain't going to shack up with him. That ain't happening. No. Been there, done that, and refuse to do it again. I've been blessed through the ups and downs of a relationship that I've found, I think, who I'm saying think, because I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, this is my soulmate, that I perceive to be my soulmate. Okay, let me put it like that, because there's nothing guaranteed. I can see that this could be my soulmate that I'm with now. I can say that much. Okay. But if you have any comments, questions, 347-677-1749. Now, let's talk about some social issues. Let's talk about the idea that we have a lot of social issues. We have the police brutality is one of the issues we could talk about. We can discuss the idea that we're still having people killed. People are still getting killed by police. We have churches in Ferguson, Missouri being burned down. I think it's been about 5 churches now. I want to see why they can't solve that problem or who it is. That amazes me that Nobody seems to know who's doing that. How are we handling this? The idea that we're now really, really, really are going to come together and make a difference in the idea that the Black Friday is coming up and Christmas is coming up and people are really literally preparing to boycott them. If you go to my Facebook page, I have on my the Black Louisiana Associates of Consciousness Concern has a list of 30 women-owned business online that you can buy gifts from. Black women business online that you can buy gifts from. Different items for Christmas. Buy Black. That's what we're pushing. Buy Black is what we're pushing. And I'm one of those people who love to push that. I'm very much so into that. Now, we have to look at the ideal that with all these social issues that we're dealing with, how do we conquer them? And it's the only way we're going to be able to do that, something that we're going to have to do. And we're going to have to make unity a priority in a sense so that we can be all on one accord. And one accord is very, very, very important because I want to see this be successful. I really want to see this boycott of business very much so. I want to see it successful. And I really would love to hear all the people who are going to be discussing this, making this, putting this in action, actually make it happen. I want to see the ideal that it affects the retails when we stop buying, when we stop, because it seems like that's the only way we're going to get respect is through the dollar bill. It's amazing now that the more it's getting closer to it, the more they're saying it, the more they're making it. I believe it's going to happen. I believe the idea that they boycott BET, and I'm hoping this story is true because, you know, you can't believe everything on the internet, you can't believe everything in the news, but I'm hoping this story is true, that they boycotted BET because it did not televise the Justice or Else rally, and they said their ratings went down, the hip-hop awards or the BET awards, and their ratings went down. That's what I heard. I'm hoping that's true. Okay? And it's anything to affect us in a positive way, nobody wants to put their hands on. It's like it's poison or something. They don't want to put anything on it because they're so afraid that if they do, some other people are going to have something to say. And, you know, I think because of our powerful, our dollar bill is $1.1 trillion we spend. We're like the largest consumer of goods and services in the United States are the African Americans. For us to be so poor, we can't be poor and buy up everything. And then again, we can because we'll be in more debt. We probably have the lowest credit rating because we don't think of money. We don't value money. We don't value money as far as it goes from our pocket to their pockets or their stores or their whatever, their banks. And that's as far as how we value money. I'm not a financial expert, far from trying to tell somebody how to manage their money, because I'm not a good money manager. I have a husband that helps me, but I'm not a good money manager. And certain things I'm good at, I know I need to do this, I can do that, but I'm not going to sit here and make it sound like, oh my gosh, she's never bounced a check and I've never done this and I've never done that. I'm telling a damn lie. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to get raw with you tonight. I'm telling a damn lie. I have bounced a check because I didn't know what the hell I was doing back then. I just didn't know what the hell I was doing. Just hard for me to comprehend how the hell do I have money in the bank one day and next day I go write a check and it ain't in there no more? Not even questioning that you already had some stuff out there that had to be paid off and money came in and it took care of that. And when you wrote this check that wasn't in there, what you thought was in there. So you learn. That's the financial part. That's the financial part of it. You learn what you can't touch. You learn how you can touch it and when you can touch it and what's available. You got to know what's available. What's the available cash? If you don't have no available cash, you can't touch it. There's none there. You can't make it happen. You can't put it, I mean, unless you get it from somebody else and borrow it or whatever, to put it in there to cover it, don't do it. Especially when checks cost $35 to when you bounce them. It's not. It's not. And I know some people have to do whatever they have to do because I've been there. I know. But don't make a habit of it. Okay, they loan place the same thing. Don't make a habit of it. I'm not saying nobody can't use them because I don't know everybody's situation. I can't say don't use them. I can't say that because I don't know everyone's situation. It's really not for me to know their situation. But I do understand that what you have to do is what's best for you, but understand there's consequences to it and understand how it affects your bank account. That's what I want to say on that issue. So I'm getting ready to shut up for a second. I'm going to let you guys listen and we'll be back. This is Red Journal Radio and I am your host, Salita.
It's Thursday night and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape?
You mean the one in my mouth?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
What you're smelling is a natural musk.
Ew.
You don't need to be a medical test subject.
How do you feel?
Mostly okay. I... Sometimes, though.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman. You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
All right, deal.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
You didn't call.
All right, that was Letticy saying, set me free. You guys, goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It comes to relationships. She's just let me go. You come to the point where you want to say, let me go. I'm done. And you come to that point, you know, it's time to go. Now, we were talking about issues, social issues. Excuse me. Guys, just give me a second here. No. I'm trying to use my new computer. Oh, there we go. Okay. Give me 1 second here. I'm sorry, you guys. I thought I would be. There we go. Okay. We were talking about issues, and I'm going to talk directly about Black issues. Now, according to the article from The Roots, if you know, it's an online newspaper called The Roots. According to them, they did the 5 important Black issues of today. Actually, this is for 2014. I guess they didn't have none for 2015. Because it's really not changed. It's not a very, it's not a big change in it. It says, as we enter into the new year, the Black community should remain focused on 5 key areas that are vital to the promotion of racial justice and economic equality in 2014. This is only in 2014. Okay, it says, number one is reducing Black community, reducing violence in Black communities nationwide, not just in one place, but all over the place. Chicago's violence-plagued communities have received the most national attention in part because of President Barack Obama's ties to the Windy City, but also due to its prolific number of murders. The latest victim was a 17-year-old pregnant teenager who died of a gunshot wound to the head. The miracle of this tragedy is that her baby survived. Local activists have done heroic work to stave off increased gun violence, efforts that have drawn the participation of national civil rights leaders such as Al Sharpton, which I am not a big fan of. Unfortunately, this has not been enough to staunch the bleeding. Obama must prioritize the issues of violence in Chicago and other predominantly Black, brown, and poor communities as a national crisis that it is. But we know that's not true. Not to say this is not a national crisis. I'm talking about Obama making it, you know, I think there are places that he has truly failed, and that's dealing with us as African Americans. He has truly failed in many instances when it comes to us. That's just my opinion. Now, it says public schools should help Black children fulfill the American dream. No, I'm not giving public schools that. I think we should help Black children fulfill the American, our dream, for us, not for America. The achievement gap between Black and white students in America continues to grow. Too many Black children attend overcrowded, underfunded public schools that are racially and economically segregated from the mainstream media. It says, from mainstream America, instead of learning to become critical thinkers and tomorrow's leaders, our children are suspended from school at a higher rate than the white counterparts and introduced to the criminal justice system in elementary school. To be young, Black, and poor in America is to be confined to some of the nation's most dangerous, violent-ridden, and vulnerable spaces. 2014 marks the 60th anniversary of the landmark Brown versus Board of Education desegregation case. What instantly became a symbol of racial progress is slowly devolving into one of national shame. But again, when we talk about desegregation, maybe we should have stayed segregated. And I keep going back to one of the speeches Martin Luther King said, and one phrase he said was, felt like he was sending his people into a burning house. with this whole this desegregation and wanted to do everything everybody else did when actually all he asked for was equality, and it got really, really out of hand. Okay, let's talk about another problem that we have is the mass incarceration of nonviolent drug offenders must end, which is very important. Deteriorating public schools have become a feeder system into the nation's prison industrial complex. As you know, school has a no tolerance level. That wasn't before, but now it is, and it's very much pertinent, and they have resource officers in schools, so it's all set up. And as long as we keep thinking everything is fine and we're proud, and that's exactly what's happening. Okay, it's a system of the nation's prison industrial complex. The drug wars of the 80s turned poor black neighborhoods, including public schools, into incubators of racial injustice and oppression. The social, political, and economic stigma attached to felony drug convictions have been defined by legal scholars Michelle Alexander as the new Jim Crow. The new caste system that contains striking parallels with the separate and unequal regimes of racial injustice constructed in slavery aftermath mass incarceration is a civil rights issue of the 21st century, and the black community should utilize this year, which is the 50th anniversary of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, to push to end system that discredits our democracy. And the only way we're going to be able to do that, you guys, is through the dollar bill. Just telling you. It says renewing the American dream for African Americans requires a bold jobs program, especially in inner city. Now, I understand the concept of the American dream. And I'm at a point where I'm not going to kind of think about American dream in that sense. I'm sorry. Okay, it says problems of violence, education, and mass incarceration are intimately linked to the Black America job crisis. Yes, you know we have a large rate of unemployment. The unemployment rate for Blacks has doubled that of whites, but in many poor communities, disparities are even more staggering. Chronic unemployment and underemployment fractures families and neighborhoods and chokes off hope. Now is the time for civil rights activists, community leaders, elected officials, and yes, President Obama to focus on the national and targeted job program. Obama can start by issuing an executive order to raise the minimum wage for employees doing work related to federal projects. Wow. Okay, that's something he thinks is going to work out. Okay. I don't see it that way. I don't agree with that whole concept, but okay. And again, we're talking about 2014. It promised to be in another year filled with well-deserved commemorations for hard-fought civil rights legislation, anniversary, and demonstrations. Yet we focus on the past. Without providing meaningful context of the present, we can obscure the complexities of very struggles we seek to celebrate. The civil rights movement was a long, continuous struggle for justice in America, not a bedtime story with beginning, middle, and the end. Roses set so Martin could run, so the Barack could fly, is a nice sentiment, but makes for poor history. We can best honor the legacy of Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Fannie Lou Hamer, and the countless unnamed souls who helped usher into a new freedom era by acknowledging the large task that is ahead of us. This means that even as we bask in the hard-won achievements of recent past, including the election and re-election of America's first Black president, oh gosh, I'm so sick of hearing it, we have a clear-eyed picture of the challenges that remain. Now, I'm sick of hearing the first Black president, because after a couple more months from now, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, he won't be. And I don't know. I try not to be pessimistic, but I'm very pessimistic of our future. I just am right now at this moment, okay? I know there's hope. I know there's things that can happen that can be very positive, but I'm trying to see him, okay? I'm 51 now. Pray to God I'll see 52, 53, 54, maybe in my 60s, 70s. But right now I don't see. I just don't. And it might be just the way I'm feeling right now, but I don't see a lot of things that people are seeing that's positive. Because guess what? Like Angie Stone said, there's a time for karma. And I think America I'm just letting you know, America is at the point where it's almost time for the farmer to come back. Okay, I'm going to stop right there and play you a little Patty. All right, you guys, we are back, Red Journal Radio, and I'm your host, Alita McCall, and we are almost down to 30 minutes. Hopefully talking and discussing our issues. I talked about the Black issues. I talked about my issues, some of the issues that I have with us as women, as us as important to us, what is not important to us, and how we have to come to a point in our lives where we might have to change our priorities around. I'm not saying that not making your family a priority. I'm not talking about alleviating them. I'm talking about making priorities when it comes to decisions that are social. Decisions that coming together, the unity. It's so many things that we can do now. And I know earlier, as I was listening to the songs, I was thinking, I said something that I shouldn't have said. I didn't want to give off the impression that I was being pessimistic about the future. I think we have a great future. It's just that I think we're going to have more obstacles. We already have obstacles there already. I just think it's going to be a lot more. It's just how I see it. I see a lot more stuff happening to us and us dealing with it a lot more than what I thought. Now, I think before I played a couple of words from James Baldwin, and he talks about how he sees this Black American, how segregation, you know, how he grew up and the things that he went through, the things that he saw, and I mentioned him because he just came to my mind. We want to be on this path of let's forget and let's move forward. And there's a reason why we're not able to move forward, because it's not time for us to move forward in a lot of instances with our issues, because our issues have been ignored. Society has shunned us in every way it can, and we steady smile and laugh and we shoo-shoo and sugarfooting around with how society views us, no matter how good we do. Oh, yeah, they'll clap their hands for a little bit. But it focused more on the negative. See, that's what I was telling you about those people. That's how they are. They can't help it. And we feed into that. We give them every performance, every opportunity for them to feel the way they feel about us or to how they see us. Now, we're not allowed to view them the way that they really are. Because you know why? Because, see, we didn't know it. Now we know how they really are. Just for a pure example, out where I live at right now, in our area where we live at, my old boss, when I say my old boss, I'm talking about my old supervisor when I used to work for one of our, what they call the Youth Challenge Program, and he also was my commanding officer when I was in the National Guard. He moved out in our neighborhood. He lives further away, but he's in my neighborhood. I call it my neighborhood. It's not really my neighborhood, but it's in the vicinity of where I live. Matter of fact, he lives on the same road I live on. He just lives further up. I noticed that two houses went up for sale when he moved in, and this guy is a sergeant major, and he's a Black guy. I see two houses, a house directly across from him and a house away from his, one house away. They both have for sale signs up. I'm trying to figure out how many more for sale signs am I going to see since we're moving out here. And we've been out here, you guys, 14 years. So that's what I'm saying. They don't just outright show how they feel. You know, I'm not going to say, hey, I hate Black people, because guess what? That might be a Black customer that comes in my store. Or that might be a Black customer that goes in my sister's store. You never know. So they're not going to outright say how they feel or how they really see us, but they show it in their little sly ways. I just thought it was amazing, and I could be wrong. It's just today was the first day that I actually saw that for sale sign on the opposite side of the road. Today was the first time, and I drive this road every day. So it was just amazing that I saw that. The other house is a house away from him. That for sale sign has been up for a while, but it was up after he moved there, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm just kind of letting you see that we don't want a lot of them out here. You know, we got a couple out here. We don't even see them that much. We drive by and, you know, see them outside or something. But we don't want them out here all the time. You know, I just can't, you know. We have to understand society has painted this picture of us as these villains, and we're not. We don't bother nobody. We've had our own issues out here, but we don't bother nobody. We don't keep up mess. That's just how we are. That's how I've always been. That's how I was raised. My mom didn't allow us to hang in people's houses or hang in the streets. We stayed in the house. And when you didn't go visit a lot of people and hang up in people's houses, that was not allowed. And I raised my son that way. He was not allowed to hang up in people's houses. We just didn't do that. We stayed to ourselves. And it was so crazy that we didn't give them what they wanted. They wanted that mindset that we were these terrible people. We didn't give it to them. We let them think what they wanted to think, how they wanted to think it. We weren't those people that they imagined us to be. And I like the ideal that we want. And to this day, I could live out here for a million years and not talk to anybody. I don't have to talk to people. I don't. That's a choice. So they can have whatever perceived impression they want. It's fine. I don't care. As long as you don't step on my property. When you step on my property, that's a whole other ballgame. Because one thing about here in Louisiana, we have the stand your ground law. If you step on my property, that's it. I got two dogs. That's it. And they're not going to let you come on the property. So I don't have to have a gun. I mean, they're good to have. I ain't going to tell no lie. But I don't have to have one because I have two dogs that will take care of everything for me. I know one of them for sure will, without a doubt. So I don't have to worry about that. But I said that, and I digress because I got a little bit off the subject. We were talking about issues. We were talking about social, emotional, physical, psychological, judgmental issues. And one word I did use is judgmental is because people judge us because of what society said we do. And that's the crazy, crazy, crazy thing. That is so crazy. We're nothing like what people think we are. And that's amazing. You can kind of look in their faces when you start talking to them, how surprised they are. When you open up your mouth and you have an intelligent conversation, or they listen to your voice. Man, listen how she talks. Everybody, every black person is not ghetto. Lots of us are much more intelligent than some of them. But how would they know? But they judge us by who we are. We have this young person, I think I mentioned it in another show. We have this young person who drives by with his rebel flag, huge rebel flag on the back of his truck with his American flag. Now, we already said that the rebel flag, the Confederate, not the rebel, the Confederate flag, what it represents. So it's not tradition. It's no longer tradition. That's bullshit. And I'm going to say it like it's bullshit. It's not tradition. You're showing us how you hate, how hate works for you. And that's fine. Like I said, just don't bring it on my property. You can drive by my house all day long with your flags waving in the air all day long. Just don't stop in front of it or stop in the driveway. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. We know they do it on purpose. We know it's just this one teenager. I don't want to call him a teenager. He might be a grown-ass man. I don't know. But he drives by in his truck, and they waving his big, heavy-duty flags, Confederate flag. Now, am I judging him by me talking about him? No, I'm not judging him because I know what his mindset is. We've already made. It's not something I'm assuming. I know how he feels because we already know it's not about tradition anymore. I mean, it's not about freedom and it's about hate, point blank. It's about hate. So stop pretending like it's anything else. That's why me and my husband made the decision that we're going to get a red, black, and green flag.
and put it out in front of our house. We are. We got an American flag. And the only reason why the American flag is hanging on our front porch is because me serving my country. Other than that, it wouldn't be there. And I'm going to tell you that right now. If I would have never served my country, that American flag would not be on our house, would not be on our front porch, hanging proudly. And that's the only reason why it's there. Other than that, it would not be there. Okay? Now, my patriotism is not where it used to be. It used to be, I used to be proud of what I did. But it's not like that now. That has changed a lot down through the years. It goes back to judgmental images, the physical sense of everything, dealing with everything, the emotion, and the emotional, and the social part of it is the ideal that a lot of this shit is full of shit. A lot of these perceived notions, these beliefs that people have, and their impressions of you are wrong. It's wrong. And the image that they have of you and how you're supposed to be, and you're supposed to be ignorant. You're supposed to be loud in a house full of kids. No, no, no. You should be outside fighting. You should be cussing. You should be, no, I cuss. I cuss like a sailor. I ain't going to tell no lie. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I do cuss. I can be polite, and I can hold some of my words in, but it's not always that way. Now, you can perceive me to be a potty mouth because it's not a perception, because that's perception, because that's what I am. I have a potty mouth. I cuss. But I'm a very intelligent person, and most of the people that I deal with are very intelligent people. I don't say that I don't say I'm better than any other Black person who's not on my level or whatever level that is, but I have to be around people who I learn from. And if I don't learn from you, then we're both wasting each other's time. And that's how I see it when it comes to certain issues. My issues is I like to be around people who have something I can learn from. You know, if you're not teaching me anything, it's kind of hard for me to learn from you. It really is. I am kind of just like I can't do a lot of my mind, because my mind works all the time. It's going here and there. It's never sleeping. I can't focus on craziness, so I try not to. And if you got a lot of drama in your life, I can't deal with you. I just can't. I don't do drama. I just can't. So with that, I'm going to take a break because I don't want to get off subject and sound like I'm rambling. I'm running out of
time. Don't worry about her, man. She's cool.
I don't even want to know what they're doing downstairs. All I know is they're here and they're safe.
You guys, it's the cops.
Did you know hosting a party with underage drinkers is a crime? You could face a $1,000 fine and up to a year in jail. Get the facts at drugfreemanatee.org.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn today...
The only thing I didn't learn... is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Wow. Stop bullying. You know there's a lot of bullies. There's a lot of adult bullies out there. That goes back to image, judge, emotional, and social. You know, there's a lot of hurting people out there, and the only way they can express themselves is to take it out on other people. Did you know that? A lot of us do that, and we don't even realize we do it. We become very verbally abusive. Some of us come physically abusive and don't realize we do it. People don't realize you can get bullied at your job. I can say I have. I had a nurse that I was working with, and I don't know what she was doing. I don't know what she was going through, or she was just a racist-ass bitch. Excuse my language. But she was so mean and disrespectful to me, and I kept having to remind her of me being a veteran, because I thought that was very important, because she was being very disrespectful. And the ideal that I don't work for her. I work for the VA. And she had issues with that, I guess. I did everything I could not to physically kick her ass. I'm going to be honest. I did. because at the time I was going through my little thing. And see, people don't realize it. When you're really being affected by the things that's gone on in your life as far as your military life, you can only tolerate so much from certain people. And some people, you don't have to go through anything. You can still not tolerate. So I couldn't tolerate it anymore. And one day I just went off. And I went to go tell my supervisor what happened. And it didn't matter to them. It didn't really bother them. And guess what color my supervisors were? They were all black. Yeah. And she was white, redneck. You call her what she was. She was a damn fucking redneck. Excuse me. And she really pissed me off the way she treated me for no reason. She had no reason to talk to me the way she did. And so I'm going through my little thing dealing with her. And I'm trying to get the help. I'm supposed to help from my supervisor. Can you talk to her supervisor to tell her to stop talking to me like that? No, none of that happened. So I took it upon myself to basically tell her ass off in my office. And I told her, don't walk her ass in my office again, talking to me crazy, because I will not tolerate it. And I'm not going to predict what I might do. I'm tired. And once you get them off your back, you're good. I mean, you're good. They try you. She was a bully. She was a big bully. And she thought that she was going to get away with being bullied. And see, me, I'm like this. I'm not confrontational. I don't like to embarrass anybody in front of anybody. I'm not going to holler at you. I'm not going to scream at you. And I'm not going to disrespect you in front of people, other people. Some people don't care. They do it. And I think it's so wrong. And when you have your emotional outburst, don't do it in front of people. Wait till we get home. Wait till we get outside or talk to me in my office. Don't do it in front of other people. When you come to a point when you have to do that, the best thing for you to do is step away, walk away, get yourself together, and then come back. Don't always explode on people in front of people. To me, I think that's, to me, you're disrespecting yourself and you're disrespecting that other person, to be honest with you. Because to me, I mean, I'm like, okay, if that's how you act in front of people, damn. You know, do you always have to talk to people like that? Do you always have to show your emotions so out of hand? To me, you're not in control of yourself when you have to cuss people out in front of other people, when you have to clown in front of other people. That's not attractive, especially as young women who want a man. You can't. Come on. And you getting louder and you're looking around to make sure everybody can see you. Come on. Nah. I'm saying it like it is. Nah. That's not how you should present yourself. I'm sorry. I digress again. Tonight must be my rambling night because I'm rambling my ass off. And I'm trying to stay focused. I'm trying to stay on topic. The topic is issues, and these are little issues that I have when it comes to people. I just don't understand, why do you have to do that? Why do you have to feel like you have to talk to people crazy in front of other people? You're not showing your dominance. You're showing your ignorance. Because the only person you're in charge of is yourself. No matter, despite what you think, the only person you're in charge of is yourself. And most of the time, we can't even control our own selves. So when you can't control yourself, then, you know, that's a whole nother issue, and that's a personal issue. That's an emotional, psychological issue that you have to deal with. Nobody else should have to deal with your demons. You need to deal with them and not bring them everywhere you go. Point blank. That's how I feel about it. I just feel that you shouldn't have to bring your demons with you everywhere you go. Now, what I want to do now, I want to play this song because I have to play it. It's just in my, I just got to play it. I just want you to hear it. Okay? I know all these songs sound like, all of them sound like they're sad songs, but they're really not. They're really good songs. I just want to let you know that.
Just you and I together. Yeah. What made you try those childish ways? What made you want till now, today we're not the same, and you're about to lose me.
A fool, girl. You gave me
songs way back, so many years back in the day. Miles J was the shit. Excuse my language. But yeah. Tonight, you notice I've been cussing a lot more than normal. I'm sorry. I'm really supposed to be waiting and putting this on tomorrow's. Let's see how tomorrow works out with Freestyle Friday. Anyway, you guys, tonight was a great show. I hope I said something that will matter to you guys. I hope you understand that this show right here was just some issues, some stuff I wanted to talk about to get off my head, off my mind. I love it when my spirit puts things in my mind to do. Celie, you need to do a show. You need to do this. You need to do that. And lots of times the show doesn't have to have my show. This is my show, so I can have it the way I want to. My show doesn't have to have all kinds of serious subjects and serious substance to it. It's just something I wanted to talk about, the way that we're looking at each other, the emotional, the physical, the psychological, us being judgmental toward each other, the image, how we perceive ourselves and how other people perceive us is very important. Please understand that all these things are important, but you have to sit down, and I said before, make a checklist. Make a checklist of the things that are important to you and the things that are in your life that are important to you. And then make a checklist of things that you don't want in your life, but they are there, and you have to find a solution on how to get rid of them, like bad relationships, bad marriages. Not only am I talking about a relationship between a man and a woman, I'm talking about a friendship. You know, we can have bad, poisonous friends. We have toxic friendships that are not meaningful. I had to get out of a toxic friendship I was in, and I didn't realize it. Matter of fact, I had to get out of two of them. I didn't realize it because I don't look at people like other people see them. And when your husband says to you, and my husband's funny sometimes, when you gonna learn? When you gonna learn? When he says that, I know right then and there. You don't listen because he's been telling me about this person for the longest. You keep just opening yourself, leaving yourself wide open, and I finally just cut ties. The last thing that person did was enough. I cut ties. I said, okay, that's it. Again, don't get me in front of people and embarrass me. And that's when I said enough is enough. I cut ties, and I feel better. I felt sad at first because that's what you do when you have a friendship. A relationship with someone. I felt bad at first. I felt kind of sorry that I did it. I really did. The first thing came to my mind was the regret. Why did I do it? Listening to who? My husband told me, finally do. And I feel better. I don't feel like I lost anything, but that was a relationship. That's just an example of a friendship that, to me, was toxic for me mentally and emotionally. Was very toxic to me. I feel so much better that I let it go. I really, really, truly do. I feel better. And it wasn't the first one that I've gotten into where I meet these people, be their friends, and I don't know. And I don't want to make it sound like it's woe's me, oh, everybody's doing me wrong. That's not the impression I want you guys to get about me. I know that I can be naive at times, and I can be very, very soft-hearted toward people and feel sorry for people. My husband said I have this craziness of always wanting to rescue everybody. And these were friendships I wanted to rescue. And they weren't what I should have been rescuing. I should have been rescuing myself away from them. So so you live and learn. So tomorrow, Freestyle Friday. I'm going to wrap this up now. First of all, I'm getting tired, and no, just kidding. I've kind of ran out of things I want to discuss with you guys. I'm glad that we had this time. I'm going to have to do this again. You know, I always say that. I mean it from my heart. I'm going to have to do this again. So I'm going to leave you guys with a little Avant, and you guys have a great night. Tomorrow night is Freestyle Friday. That means we're going to be talking again, yapping again, and playing music, all kinds. So be prepared. Thank you again for listening in to Blog Talk Radio. This is Red Journal Radio on Blog Talk, excuse me. And I'm your host, Alita McCall. And you guys, we're going to close it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, and all the lovers around the world, I want to talk about the one I love. I know a lot of times we forget how they take good care of you.